Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, how does God feel about churches in California being told that they cannot meet indoors? I'll bet you didn't think I'd talk about that tonight. Some of you are falling out of your chairs. You're shocked. You're stunned. You're flabbergasted. Yeah, I know. We've been talking about it week after week. It's a recurring thing. I guess it will be for a while. But to answer the question at face value, how does God feel? Well, my friend, if we go to God's word, the Bible's commands about assembling together are quite clear. That doesn't seem to matter to His Royal Majesty, King Newsom. Headline, California churches refuse to shut down in face of local leaders threatening to cut power. Yeah? Really? No fooling. Let's see them try to cut the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know what they keep trying to sell us. They're doing this for our health. The governors, the mayors, they stay up at nights worrying about your health. They stay up at nights worrying about my health. They lose sleep over our health. This is moving me close to tears. My friends, it is simply not true. It is simply not true that they care about your health when they say that's the reason. They are lying. You don't believe me? Think if it were really about your health, if they were really taking their job to protect you, to keep you safe, if they were really taking that seriously, criminals wouldn't be getting released from jail. Police wouldn't be getting defunded. An obligatory politically correct lip service would not be given to riots out of a fear of being called racist if you refuse to condone the riots and label them as First Amendment peaceful protests, especially when these same kinds of riots all over the country are murdering black men, are murdering black women, are murdering black children, are murdering black toddlers. Even Dr. Anthony Fauci, the doctor du jour, who for months now has been telling us that lockdowns and social distancing are more important than anything else, even Fauci, when asked to comment on protests and demonstrators showing zero social distancing, says, well, it's not his place to comment. Really? Not your place to comment, Dr. Fauci? You seem to be commenting on everything else. He'll tell us that we need to stay home. He'll tell us that we need to shut down businesses. Now he's telling us it would be good if we never shook hands with people again. Ever. He seems to have something to say about everything, but he doesn't want to talk about whether people can stand there and riot and burn down buildings. Yes, he comments on absolutely everything. Well, now I have a comment of my own. What do you think about that? That's right. It's time for another episode of What I Like the Most About Dr. Fauci with your old pal, Bob. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know what I like the most about Dr. Fauci? Nothing. You've been listening to another episode of What I Like the Most About Dr. Fauci with your old pal, Bob. Now, I know, I'm just sure, I am absolutely positive that right now, one of my listeners or several of my listeners who happen to be fellow brothers or sisters in Christ, they're thinking, Bob, you're a Christian. And you just said on the radio, over the air, that there's somebody you don't like? We're supposed to love everybody. Yes, we are commanded actually to love everybody. That doesn't mean we have to like everybody. There are different words used for love, incidentally. Our commandment to love, specifically, is associated with the word agape. There were many other kinds of love that had to do with feeling, words like phileo, words like that. Agape's emphasis was primarily on action. It is predominantly an action word. It means that as far as actions go, we treat people a certain way. I don't mean Anthony Fauci any harm. I don't. I truly don't. And I hope he continues to live in peace. I hope he finds his own forgiveness in Jesus Christ, if he hasn't already. Maybe he has. I don't know his heart. He seems like a nice guy. It's not his personality. If he wanted to come over for a cup of coffee, I would shake his hand. If he'd let me shake his hand. What I don't like about the man are his policies. You see, he keeps telling us that nothing is more important than avoiding the coronavirus. Nothing. He's made it quite clear that this is far more important than people being out of work. Easy for you to say, Fauci. You still have your job. This is hypocrisy. I call that out. I call out hypocrisy. Jesus called out hypocrisy quite often. He spoke quite emphatically against hypocrisy, so I'm assuming he didn't like it a whole lot. I don't think I'm really going out on too much of a limb here. Meanwhile, most of the country is still mesmerized by Fauci. They love Fauci. Women are buying underwear with Fauci's name on it. I'm not making that up. I'm not reading from The Onion. I'm not reading from the Babylon Bee. This is really happening. They really sell it. I've seen it in the news. They sell it in Los Angeles. You know, maybe Fauci should just run for president. Why not? Joe Biden probably thinks he's Fauci anyway. That's right. It's time once again for our Joe Biden update. What exactly does a vote for Joe Biden mean? What exactly would you be voting into office? What policies would be put in place? Well, nobody knows. And yet, in a way, everybody knows. We know, for instance, that the further left Bernie Sanders and the squad of four go, the further Uncle Joe will get dragged along with them. We know he has no real, genuine convictions about anything, or if he does, we never hear them. He just repeats whatever the puppet masters whisper in his ear. He just moves his lips like a dummy as the ventriloquists throw their voices. Yes, we know all this. What we don't know is exactly what incredibly stupid, destructive thing the Marxists will come up with next. We do know that whatever it is, they will always put it in racial terms so that anybody who wants to resist can be called a xenophobe or an Islamophobe, or they'll be told that they don't believe Black Lives Matter, even though many African Americans have nothing to do with the organization Black Lives Matter. Of course, any decent person would defend the statement, but any decent person would also reject the movement, a movement hijacked by Antifa, a movement hijacked by anti-Semitism. Yes, anti-Semitism. Now I'm reading a headline from frontpage.com. The headline says this: Black Lives Matter South Carolina founder says nothing wrong with calling Jews and white people subhuman. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saying for years that attempts to pit rich against poor and attempts to pit black against white are unsustainable in America today. Why? There are too many rich and poor people. There are too many black and white people who do not want to see our society destroyed. Unfortunately, history has shown an easier way for politicians to grab power. History has shown us how easily the word rich can get substituted by the phrase rich Jews. And since Jews in America are considered white, despite Middle East heritage, despite conversions to Judaism of people such as Sammy Davis Jr., the culture war can easily shift to Jews without having to take on so many white Americans, quote unquote. Unfortunately, one of the few things that nutcases on the left and nutcases on the right have in common is anti-Semitism. And so while there could and should be pushback from true conservatives and true Christians, there might not be as much as we'd hoped if this thing morphs into anti-Semitism. By the way, these days, the Trojan horse for good old-fashioned anti-Semitism is a narrative that's easier to sell. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, in which historical revision has painted a completely false rewriting of history, false narrative that the Jews are occupying somebody else's land. That's not true at all, but it's believed hook, line, and sinker. And guess, ironically, who was one of the first to point out that being anti-Israel is the same as being anti-Semitic? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Alas, as the old 60s song goes, the times, they are a-changing. Well, it's always great to be joined by my good friend and even more frequent than before rotating co-host. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. Now, first thing I need to say is the times, they are a-changing. Was written by Bob Dylan, and he was born Jewish, like yourself, and then, as an adult, converted to Christianity. And I have it on a very good source because we have a mutual friend that Bob still loves Jesus. In his words, it was, Bobby is still cool with Jesus.
Oh, well.
And, I expect...
Wow. You know, now that you mention it, I remember that he did convert to Christianity. I didn't know that he had been Jewish, but I remember he come out with some song that said you have to serve somebody?
You got to serve somebody. That was from his first Christian album, Slow Train Coming.
You've got to serve somebody. You know what? He's a brilliant he's a brilliant poet.
Let me do the Dylan impersonation.
Okay.
That's in my wheelhouse. Okay, now, I just wanted to comment on that. And then the other thing you mentioned... This is great news to me that there is Dr. Fauci underwear.
Oh, well, you know,
I'm wondering if
there's Cuomo underwear too. I didn't go through all of them, but there is Fauci underwear.
Here's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to order a pair online, and I'm going to use that for my COVID mask.
Oh my God. That is fantastic. That is too perfect.
We're going to get calls about that one.
Yeah, that is too perfect.
By the way, Fausti, I call him Fausti because he made a deal with the devil, I think.
But, is in Dr. Faustus? Yes.
Dr. Fausti now recommends that in addition to wearing masks, we should be wearing goggles.
Goggles, yeah, I know. It's just never going to stop.
No, personally, I would rather wear a Lone Ranger mask. And but I'll have to settle for some cheap sunglasses. Cue the ZZ Top song.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This guy.
They won't be satisfied till we're all wearing the Darth Vader mask. You know.
Oh, I would do that.
It's the thing is, Jim, if people keep going along with it, they're going to keep asking us to do more. The more people go along with it, because people in power are never satisfied. I think Fauci, in his own stupid way, thinks he's doing the right thing. But the politicians that are exploiting this, they're interested in the power. They don't give a rat's behind about your mask or keeping yourself safe.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, if you give me a few minutes, I want to read some excerpts from an article that I found.
Okay.
That addressed, and it's right in line with what your opening segment was. So if I may.
Go ahead.
Okay, Angelo Coteville, former professor emeritus of international relationships at Boston University. He served as the U.S. Foreign Service officer and member of the U.S. Department of State, and he's the senior fellow at the Claremont Institute in Upland, California. He wrote an essay called The COVID Coup and How to Unlock Ourselves. Now, it's a 21-page essay. I'm only going to read a few little lines from it, but he says this: panicked by fears manufactured by the ruling class, the American people assented to being put essentially under house arrest until further notice. Outside of the few who have gained and are still gaining power and wealth from the panic, Americans are asking, what will it take to end this outrage? On the other hand, Dr. Fauci, never mind that he's been wrong on various issues over his storied career, his blind, questionless trust in the outrageous Imperial College of London projection of 2.2 million U.S. deaths caused by COVID-19 generated arguably the most consequential period of government malfeasance in American history. Fauci's pseudo-medical, pseudo-scientific pretense is the foremost pillar of the lie that COVID-19 is something to be treated like the plague. Pretty strong words there. And he really rips into Fauci's track record of accuracy.
Well, good for him. And, of course, if that was put on Facebook, they'd tell you that their fact checkers checked it for you, and it's false information.
And he talks about the CDC, which I don't have a lot of confidence in. The CDC, which by then has been discredited, although not in mainstream media, was forced to conclude that the lethality rate, far from being 5%, was actually 0.26%. The CDC manipulated statistics by reporting deaths being attributed to COVID that involved or looked as if they might have involved it. Then they included pneumonia, influenza, and COVID all into one category. And that's how the death figure came to exceed 100,000. But if they used the same criterion that they did with the SARS virus, then the figure would have been 16,000, not 100,000. And by July, even using the CDC's inflated figures, COVID-19's infection fatality rate for people under 70 was 0.04%. And by the way, in your home state there, California, has had a zero COVID death rate for people 17 and under. So in short, COVID is not America's plague. It didn't shake America. The ruling class shook it.
Well, unfortunately, in California, we have a zero brain rate of a lot of people who are going along with this.
Yeah, I'm afraid, every week, the more I hear out of California, the more I just wonder what has happened out there. And your governor, did you call him the king?
King Newsom. Oh, I'm not the first one to coin that. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people getting fed up with him. I will say that. That's good to hear, but it's still going to be very difficult to get him out of office. They're trying a recall campaign. We're trying to turn California into a new California, 51st state. We'll see what happens, but it's pretty precarious out here.
I listened to the show you had. People talking about that.
They were very interesting, but we'll have to pray and see what happens. So.
Yeah. If anything, if they did split into two states, then the good news is they would cancel each other out most likely.
We'll see.
Instead of one California getting all of the electoral votes,
The Democrats are not going to allow that because they lose California. Yeah. They can't win elections. All right. We will be right back with Jim Barrier. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Just in case you're wondering if there's been anything else in the news recently, they are expressing a lot of concern about shark attacks. Yes, shark attacks. Yeah, they're mentioning several places. Maine is one of them. Shark attacks. Guess the sharks never got the memo about having to wear masks. Welcome back to Jim Barrier.
And the Democrats are saying, we've got to get a bigger vote.
No, the Democrats are saying, we've got to get a bigger vote, as in mail-in balloting.
Exactly. So this segues into the next segment here. I need to do this disclaimer, folks. I know that the COVID-19 virus is real. I know that there's a real virus and people are getting sick. I believe that. But I just believe that the reality of it has been hijacked in this country for people's personal agenda, particularly the left. I think Democrats have seized this opportunity, one, to try to take down a president. When impeachment failed, hearings failed, stonewalling has failed, they've seized this opportunity to tank the economy, which was recovering at historic rates prior to the virus.
Oh, and the economy continued to recover again, even despite the shutdowns. So what did they try next? Exploiting a crisis with the race riots. I mean, yeah, it's one thing after another because it's an election year.
Yeah, whatever it takes. You know, you know, our good friend Bill Maher, the comedian, he said at one point, one way to get rid of Trump is to crash the economy. Well, I think they're doing whatever they can to make that happen. Another thing, and this by the way, in his eulogy, quote unquote, that Obama shared at the funeral the other day.
Wasn't that a disgrace what Obama did at that funeral?
It's just shameful. But one of the things that he said, one of the lines that he threw out there was that this election will be dependent on mail-in ballots so that people don't get sick. Now, keep in mind, he said this to a crowded church full of people,
no social distancing.
Okay to listen to him talk, but not okay to go vote.
Where was the 10 people in the room that are allowed only for funerals? It's just, they're just such hypocrites.
Yeah. And you talked about that, the hypocrisy, and which, you know, I don't have great respect for the former president. I have respect for the office. Whoever holds that office, I think we should respect the office. But boy, this guy has just lowered the standard incredibly. So they're pushing mail-in ballots by using this virus. And that's an easy way to steal an election. And there's been controversy because President Trump does not want to see that happen. I think he wants to see a fair election. And I think mail-in ballots across the board runs the risk of the whole thing being corrupt and being miscounted. People, there's no way, there's no checks and balances. There's no way to keep integrity in the system that way.
Well, that's exactly what they're planning to do. And these are the same people who want to not have to show ID. These are the same people who are, some of them are actually coming out and saying they want illegal people to be able to vote. And they're the same people that are whining that Russia stole our election from us last time by interfering with the process. It's just, I mean, you could not make this stuff up in a spy movie.
I know.
And it's going on right in front of our eyes.
It's crazy. And then, of course, throw this in. They're supposed to have debates with Trump and Biden.
Oh, that will not happen. That's not going to happen.
That won't happen. And they'll use the virus as the out, as the excuse.
Oh, that'll be part of it. And then the other part will be, well, you know, President Trump is such a racist. We're not even going to dignify him with a debate. They'll come up with some kind of tripe. They'll probably allow some VP debates, though, because Kamala Harris or whoever the VP pick wants to be, they'll want to show her off. They just want Biden to sit down, shut up, and stay in the shed.
I couldn't wait to see Mike Pence take on some of those clowns. And that's the deal. They know, everybody knows, if Trump and Biden square off in a debate, it'll be a disaster for the Democratic Party.
It'll be a disaster the minute Biden even opens his mouth. Trump won't have to say one word, and Trump will be frustrated because there's a lot of things he'd like to say. But Biden will throw the debate within the first 5 minutes. He won't even know he's on a debate. Yeah. He'll probably think he's on the Howdy Doody show from the 1950s.
Yeah, and all Trump has to do is put his hands on his hip and throw his head back and laugh every time Biden opens his mouth.
No.
I'd pay to see that. I don't think it's going to happen.
Poor President Trump. He's got all these zingers to take down Biden, and he's probably not going to be able to use any of them because they're not letting that guy do a debate.
Yeah. But I'd love to see it. Speaking of getting rid of Trump, this one blew me away. Our favorite Michigan Congresswoman squad member, Rashida Tlaib, recently said the ultimate goal is to get rid of Trump, and that doesn't have to involve me actually endorsing Biden. That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, that's their way. That's their way of pulling him even more to the left, because the truth is the people around him are saying, oh, you better go along with the squad. They're where it's, I mean, they got Pelosi eating out of their hand. They got Schumer eating out of their hand. And Biden doesn't even know there's a hand being put in front of him. He'll just do whatever they tell him to. So they'll probably endorse him at the end. But right now they say that as leverage, kind of like the way Bernie Sanders used leverage.
Basically,
Biden is just Bernie Sanders in a nicer suit.
Oh, fun. Well, I just wanted to, there was one more statement about Rashida Tlaib. Not only is she not a good Democrat, because she won't support their candidate, she's also apparently not a very good Muslim. She said at one point, celebrating a victory, that sometimes I say thank her because Allah is a she. Wow.
Well, I hope she understands, and I'm not sure she does understand, that if she were to say that in almost any Muslim country, a country run by Muslims, she could be beheaded for that. Yeah. And yet they come here to America where they have all this freedom, and they and she's just an avid anti-Semite. A lot of the anti-Semitism that's driving the Democratic Party now originated from her and from Ilhan Omar, but the other wusses are not standing up to them. So
yeah, that's the other one. Now, back to our topic at hand. This is just a little bit on the light side, but a deal was just reached by the National Football League and the NFL Players Association, banning players from attending any indoor church service that is above 25% capacity. Now,
you are kidding. Fairness, you are kidding me. What on the world business is that of the NFL?
It's the politically correct stand. But listen, in all fairness, alongside the restrictions on attending worship services, the collective bargaining agreement also prohibits players from attending indoor nightclubs, bars, indoor concerts, and professional sports events. Now, let me get this right. NFL players are not allowed to attend professional sports events. This sounds like a win-win for the Chargers.
There you go. I knew you were going to make
a
good zinger out of that.
That was a long way to go for a jab.
Well, it was worth it for the zinger, but boy, just commenting on the story itself, just when you think it can't possibly get any stupider, they managed to scrape and find an even deeper bottom to the barrel.
Let me remind you what Dr. Einstein said. There are two things that are infinite in the universe, or the universe and stupidity. And he said, and I'm not sure about the universe.
I thought you were going to say he was theorizing that black holes are actually found in the human brain, not in outer space.
Yeah. But never underestimate the depth of human stupidity. Now that I've completely unwound and we've talked about the NFL and things that are really kind of light or goofy, I want to close. We've got a couple of minutes, I think. And back to that article that I started with Dr. Kovia, the article concludes with this. There are three things that we need in order to survive. And these are the three things. The first thing is prayer. Prayer must be established in the home, the culture, and the church. Remember what James said. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Prayer. The second one is righteousness exalts a nation. The great Ronald Reagan said this. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will become one nation gone under. And the third one is, and we've said this a lot on the show, prayer must accompany action, not replace it. So from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. I'm sticking with this. We need to pray, we need to be righteous, and we need to repent.
You're absolutely right, my friend. And our country needs more pastors like you, because there are a lot of evangelical pastors that are compromising right now, and not just on some of the current issues. They've been compromising for several years now on other issues. Although all of us, you, me, even those of us that may not be compromising on some issues, it's a good time for all of us to examine our hearts and say, God, I am guilty of sin. We corporately are guilty of sin.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go and kneel to political movements, but I will kneel to God and ask God to forgive our nation for its sin.
After all, it says, judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
That is for sure.
Always remember that.
Absolutely.
So that's where repentance needs to begin. Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
I couldn't agree with you more. God doesn't expect the people who don't believe in the Bible to obey the Bible. He wants them to. He wants them to get saved. But the ones that he's holding accountable are the ones that are getting up there preaching from the Word, claiming to follow God. And then if they're not really doing it, I talked earlier about the hypocrisy that Jesus spoke out with. Yeah. It was religious hypocrites that Jesus had the biggest problem with regarding hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
And if he were here today, he'd be having trouble with some of our evangelical pastors. Not to mention the liberal pastors, but they went off the cliff years ago. It's the evangelical ones who still claim they're following the Word of God. They would have a real issue with Jesus if he were here. They wouldn't be calling him Jesus. They wouldn't recognize him as Jesus, just as Jesus in his own day was not recognized as who he was, God.
I think he'd be turning over some money tables, Bob.
He'd be turning over a lot more than money tables. He'd be turning over a lot.
I agree. And so it's for you and I, for people that are listening to this program that claim to be believers, and you have put your faith in the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection. We are the ones that need to change. We need to repent. We need to sacrifice our lives as a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, as it says in Romans 12. We need to be the ones who are on the front line of seeing spiritual and moral change in this country.
You said that perfectly, and I could not improve on it. And for that reason, we will let that be. Good night. We will see you next week, everybody. You are always welcome. Your questions are welcome, too.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.